Hi, this is Richard Edelman, and you're listening to The Trust Makers.
Hi, I'm Alex Heath, U.S. Head of Social Impact and Sustainability at Edelman. Joining me today is Angela Williams, President and CEO of United Way, a global network of over 1,100 local chapters that are focused on mobilizing communities around the common good. While Angela has been a leader in the nonprofit world for decades, her career started in the U.S. Air Force and as a trial attorney for the Department of Justice. Angela was also recently named as one of USA Today's 2025 Women of the Year, which recognizes women who have made a significant impact in their communities and across the country. Angela, welcome to The Trustmakers.
Alex, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to have this wonderful conversation with you.
Angela, your career has been wide-reaching. You started in government, and now you lead one of the largest nonprofits in the world. You also did work in the private sector. Talk a little bit about your career and what led you to the moment that we're in now. How did you come to lead a nonprofit?
Alex, I believe that every single opportunity I've had in my life has prepared me for this moment that I find myself in and the chair that I sit in. When I think about professionally being a lawyer, that's really being an advocate, someone who is advocating for a particular position. And as a CEO of United Way Worldwide, I am now in a position where we are, as an organization, actively advocating for communities, for families, for individuals, for positions and policies that support the greater good so that everyone can thrive. I will also say I am bivocational, and as an ordained minister, the spirituality component of who I am also comes into play, because it centers my values, and my values start with loving God, but secondly, loving your neighbor as yourself. And I can't think of no other way in which to really show up but to love my neighbor through this organization. It's how our staff across the globe show up in communities. We're always there for people. We're there with a helping hand and finding ways to make a difference in people's lives.
United Way is unique in that you operate as a network of local chapters. How does United Way work, and what makes that difference from other nonprofits? What makes that difference special?
In legal terms, we are considered a federated structure, and that's the nonprofit way of talking about what would be called a franchise in the corporate sector. So in a federated nonprofit structure, I'm the president and CEO of United Way Worldwide, which holds the brand and sets the membership requirements for local nonprofit entities in communities to use our brand and call themselves United Ways. So that's how we work from a governance structure. And then from there, though, we all share the same mission. We are aligned around our four pillars of youth opportunity, financial sustainability, community resilience, and also access to health.
So you talked about this really federated structure, how it's so local. And one of our key findings from the Edelman Trust Barometer is perhaps no surprise that trust is local. We have data that shows us that people trust the people who are closest to them, teachers, pharmacists, their employers, but we're also extremely polarized. 62% of people that we study say that the social fabric has grown too weak to serve as a foundation for unity and common purpose. At a time when we are feeling siloed and polarized, the data shows that, but I think many of us feel it. Why is local community-based work as part of this network matter so much?
You know what, Alex? I want to start with a couple of things that I think are intrinsic in the question that you just asked. And understanding that community is built of individuals who are in relationship with each other and through the relationship are able to build trust with one another. And so it's almost like this equation where if you have a relationship that's based on trust, it then equals community. Where the NGO or the civil society comes into play is that our staff are part of community. We are neighbors helping neighbors. When a crisis shows up, when there's an opportunity to do good, our staff are there, have the relationships, and can, because of those trusted, longstanding relationships, be able to help the community. One thing I will say about United Way, which I think is so special, is that not only are we a 137-year-old organization, we cover every single congressional district in the United States. We have people that live in those communities, know everyone across sectors, not just the nonprofit sector, but the corporate sector and the government sector and the faith-based sector. And because of the intersection in which we sit and operate, we're able to really convene people to come together to sit at the table. And also, Trisha, to your question, is that, yes, that social fabric at this moment may appear weak, but I'm a person of faith and belief that when two human beings can sit at a table together, break bread, have coffee, just talk or listen to each other, and there's no rhetoric or loud noise, but truly, honestly want to have a conversation and engage, that's where the breakthrough happens. And that's where the trust is continued to be strengthened between the individuals as well as the larger community.
That breakthrough of coming together is a powerful image in this moment. And the other way that I think that I see a lot of us come together is through our institutions. And so we come together in partnership locally, individual to individual, and we come together in partnership through our institutions. And we know that partnerships across business, government, and NGOs are central to what you do at United Way and key to your success. You talked about how individuals can really come together and break down silos, but what makes a successful partnership between institutions?
What I think makes a successful partnership between institutions is, one, agreeing that no one sector can solve an issue alone. So that is the basic foundation or premise from which we start. Then from there, it's a recognition that no system is perfect. However, if we are willing to say, this is what my system as a nonprofit can bring to the table, this is the talent, the know-how that my corporate sector could bring to the table, this is what I can do from a government leadership perspective, when we bring all of us together and really rely on the talents that each of us have, the know-how, background, experience, relationships, then that's when systems can actually innovate and systems can actually transform themselves as well as the community. And one last thing I would say is that the pandemic was a prime example of 3 years of systems operating the way they had been operating for decades. Think about the healthcare system or the education system, even government systems. But all of those systems had for decades been operating the same way with some change, but not drastic change or transformation. The pandemic happens. We have to figure out, I still need to go to the doctor. How am I going to go to the doctor if I can't get there or I'm homebound, et cetera? What's the innovation there? Or I'm a child and the school systems have shut down. How am I supposed to learn? What is the mechanism that we use? You need broadband, you need equipment, et cetera. So we have to get to a place now, because this world continues to change rapidly, to recognize that if the systems come together, that we should be future focused and in a mode constantly of innovating for the next.
I really love that vision and that statement around this world is continuing to change rapidly. We have to look at this innovation. We have to work together. And as this world continues to change rapidly, individuals we see are feeling very unsettled. So in our 2025 Edelman Trust Barometer, we focused on what we call the global crisis of grievance. More than 60% of respondents globally believe that government and business make their lives harder and serve narrow interests, and that wealthy people benefit unfairly from the system, as you talked about the systems, but generally the economic system. But as part of this study, little green shoot for you, NGOs have a key role in being a unifying force that brings people together and can repair that social fabric. So we've talked about how individuals can come together at a community level. We've talked about what the different institutions can bring and their different strengths. But how can NGO leaders like yourself and your peers play a unifying role, especially in this moment that we're in?
That's a great question. And the way I see my role, and I suspect I'm not the only one in this nonprofit sector, is that most of us are nonpartisan. We have a mission statement. And the mission statement is to do something. And usually that something is for the good. Now, there may be some mission statements that are not, I want to do something for the good, but that's a very broad sort of statement and how I would frame it. And then I think about the fact that as leaders in this sector, we have this ability to talk to a lot of people that are different, that come from different backgrounds and experiences, that we have the innate ability, because we have to be able to be advocates, to state the case. What's happening and why should people care? Why should people give up their time, their talent, and their treasure to walk alongside the NGO for a particular reason? And so because of that, again, really sort of intrinsic in that is this whole notion of trust. And I also want to just say, and people may disagree, but I really do believe that most people, I would say 99.9% of the people, wake up every morning and no one says, oh, good morning. I can't wait to figure out how evil and disruptive I can be today. I just don't think that. I'm very much a believer in the human will to be a good person, to want to do good, to feel good. And we all have those warm fuzzies when we do good. So that's what United Way does. It's, we are that vehicle for people to feel and do good.
Yeah, I love that. I have a similar feeling. I like to hope at least that most people are waking up and not trying to do evil and trying to do good. And yet at the same time, we do have this crisis of grievance. So people may be feeling that they want to do good, but they're still feeling very unsettled in the space. And that unsettledness also leads into what we've observed as a lot of upheaval in the nonprofit sector generally right now. So I want to hear a little bit more specifics around how are you adapting to these changes in the moment. For example, have you seen any shifts in funding or any shifts in workflows? What's going on right now?
In my conversations with philanthropies, with other nonprofits, everyone is committed to sticking to their mission and delivering on the promises that they've made. We, in this time of upheaval, uncertainty, recognize that people need a safety net. And if not us, then who? Now, in the previous question, we talked about systems and said that not no one sector can do it alone. However, what I would say about the nonprofit sector is we tend to have the heartbeat of the community. And as such, there's a way to support people. For example, those that just, let's just get to basics, who need housing, people who just need to make sure they can pay their bills. Let's think about people who need food. I want to just digress for 1 second to say that United Way operates the system, a health and human services hotline that's called 211. On a daily basis, we take in 48,000 calls via phone call, text, or email. In those 48,000 calls a day, which adds up to almost 20 million calls a year, that's an individual that is reaching out to say, I am in need of. And we are there through our call centers to connect those people to meeting those needs. And those needs are anywhere from, I need food, I need a ride to a medical appointment, I'm experiencing a mental health crisis, I'm suicidal, I'm getting ready to be evicted and I'm going to be homeless, I need shelter, I'm homeless currently. And you name it, I can't pay my bills. Those are the kinds of things in this moment that we find ourselves in, where these issues, I believe, will be amplified and intensified. That's where the nonprofit sector, as the heartbeat of the community, will keep its fingers on the pulse. That's what United Way does and will continue to do. Be the advocate and reach out and partner with the other sectors to say, what can we do to meet basic needs so that every person in every community can thrive?
How can and should philanthropists and funders evolve or stay the course amid this changing societal climate, when perhaps these issues that you talk about will be amplified and perhaps you'll be seeing more phone calls on a daily basis?
I think that those are that are in philanthropy that have decided that they're going to, either as individuals or family offices or as large or small foundations or community foundations, they're in it obviously to make a difference. I think it's important to keep their ears on the ground, to stay in connection with those of us that are touching people, individuals, and have a recognition and understanding clearly of what's happening, not rhetoric, but actual facts and data to say, this is what people are experiencing, and being willing to help put funds into the communities through organizations so that we can address needs. At the end of the day, the collective power of philanthropy coming together, I think is incredible, an incredible opportunity. Now, what I will say, I've heard philanthropists talk about this, that philanthropy offers billions of dollars. Governments offer trillions. And so where the government is reducing its support, philanthropy can't fill that gap. So we really are going to have to innovate and be clear-eyed and thoughtful on how do we make sure that people aren't fragmented, that their basic needs are not being met, that they, from a mental health perspective, don't feel let down or end up with this sense of hopelessness and grief. Those are all of the things that we have to think about and really figure out what can we do together to not let folks bottom out. That's the one thing I am concerned about for humanity.
I really like to explore cases of what's working well. Is there an example of work that United Way has done that's made you particularly proud and shows what's really working well?
I will give you a couple of different examples. And I want to, because we're a global organization, most people don't know that. I want to give you two examples, one in the U.S. and then one outside of the U.S. In the U.S., I would point to our United Way in Milwaukee. The leaders from all of the sectors in Milwaukee recognized that there was this crisis of people that were unhoused or homeless. So they set aside time to plan, how could we address this? United Way ended up being the convener, and the leaders of the city came together. They developed the plan, and United Way is the convener slash project manager was able to work with everyone in the community to move the needle to the place where after a couple of years, they have virtually eliminated the unhoused population in Milwaukee. Now, there may still be work to do, but they significantly tackled that problem. That to me is an incredible example of people coming together to say, we have to do something. Outside of the U.S., I would give you an example out of India, where I was just recently, a couple of weeks ago, visiting our 7 local United Ways that operate in India. They are doing some amazing work. But here's something that I think just really hits home. I toured in one of the cities in the slums, a sanitation or essentially bathrooms that were built by the United Way in partnership with corporations so that the people of the slums actually had clean water, could have toileting, and also laundry. And it was a nice facility. So the reason it's so important is that people don't think about these things, but women, mothers, would stop their children from eating earlier in the day so that by the time it was nighttime, they would not have to go to the restroom until the next day because it was unsafe. Women would have to monitor themselves because when there were no clean toilets to use, they had to be careful and safe as well. So now by building a facility, it changes people's lives. So that's one example in India. A second example in India that I want to share is that in this large area, there were piles of trash where people were just dumping their trash. And it was just almost like a huge dump site. United Way worked with engineers and corporate partners. They cleaned up the trash and ended up creating a lake that now has fish. It has a walking path around it. I got to plant a tree, so I have to go back and see how my tree is doing. Birds are there now. It's a whole ecosystem. And then what they did was a change management project where they taught the people in the community, don't just dump your trash. Here, there are receptacles. Let's clean up the community. And I had the opportunity to speak to the people that lived in the apartments across the street. And they were so grateful and that they had a peaceful place. It was now beautiful. It was regenerated. And it gave people hope and excitement and joy.
I love those examples so much. I love hearing what's working both in the U.S. and beyond. I think, you know, giving people hope and telling people what's working is a wonderful, clear way to build trust and create the path forward. For people who are working in the nonprofit sector now, people who are in it or people who want to be in it in the United Way and in other organizations, what advice would you have for the people who are working day to day in their communities around the world?
My advice is always find partners. Partnership is key. Trust is currency. Partnership is key. And when you're in partnership with others and recognizing that everyone brings their gift to the table, that's when the magic happens. I would also then say to everyone that's working in the nonprofit sector to engage in their own personal self-care, because this work can be daunting. It can, depending on the type of work you're doing, be depressive. You can actually, as I was talking to our colleagues that run 211 LA, who are still helping the victims post the Los Angeles wildfires, feeling that sense of, oh, there's so much need. Is there a way to be able to get people the housing that they need? How can we help people walk through the grieving process? What do we do on behalf of the seniors that lost everything and don't have anywhere to go or family members to take care of them or anybody to take care of them because it was their neighbors that took care of them and the neighborhood is gone? All of that can be really, really heavy. So again, just knowing that you are surrounding yourself with people that love you, that encourage you, that's my wisdom for those that are in the trenches day in and day out.
Thank you, Angela. That's all the time we have. We appreciate your insights and your expertise. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to The Trustmakers.
Thank you for tuning into The Trustmakers, an Edelman podcast in partnership with Advertising Week, where we speak with leaders and other trust builders across institutions. See you next time.